Welcome to The Aging Scientist, focusing on all things science and aging. I'm Clarissa Giebel, and I'm a researcher at the University of Liverpool, exploring inequalities in dementia care. Season 7 focuses on the Australian dementia and aged care system. During my recent travels through the south of Australia, I learned a lot about how aged care is dealt with in the country, and I met some very interesting fellow dementia researchers, focusing on ethnicity and cultural diversity in dementia. One of the many key highlights of their work is Moving Pictures, which to date has produced, I believe, 28 short films in different languages to raise awareness of dementia and ultimately enable improved access to care for people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. So let's find out more about my two guests on the show today. So we've got Professor Bianca Brishnath and Dr. Joe Antoniadis from the NARI in Melbourne. So welcome, both of you.
Thanks for having us, Clarissa. It's great to be here. Thanks.
So, Bianca and Joe, for our listeners, could you introduce yourself and share a bit about your work? Bianca, do you want to kick off?
Sure, no problem. So, my name is Bianca Brijnov. I am the Division Director of Social Gerontology at the National Aging Research Institute, or NARI. And I have a long-standing interest and expertise in cultural diversity and dementia, and do a lot of work relevant to that space in and around dementia awareness, diagnosis, and care, both in Australia and in the Asia Pacific region.
Great, thank you. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, hi. I'm similar to Bianca. I work at the National Aging Research Institute at the with the Social Gerontology Division, where I'm a senior research fellow working closely with Bianca on very, very similar areas of interest. So my areas of interest and expertise similarly lies working with cold communities, specifically looking at dementia prevention, aging, and mental health. But my focus is very much on co-production work, working directly with communities and producing resources that are applicable to communities straight away. So, yeah, that's my area of expertise.
Yeah. And maybe just when I was in Australia, I noticed lots of different or additional types of terminology there in the fields, and how things are worded, for example, consumers, but also I think for this podcast in particular, CALD, so culturally and linguistically diverse. Is that correct? Yes.
That's correct.
So both of you are looking at this, looking at people living with dementia from CALD backgrounds in Australia, but Bianca in particular, you're looking at this also in other countries. Both of you, what made you become interested in this specific topic area, as interesting as it obviously is?
So I've got both a personal and a professional interest in this space. I am of a ethnically an ethnic background myself. I've come from India, and I've got a bit of lived experience insofar as my grandmother had dementia for many years, and as the family looked after her, I think all of the things that we kind of demonstrate and the challenges that people talk about are ones also that my family went through in different ways. So that kind of prompted me to really ask the question in a more systemic way about if we're having these challenges, surely others must be as well. And what is it? And then the more I read and researched, the more I realized that there was a lot to be done in multicultural communities around dementia. And in many ways, our work, Joe and I worked together for over 10 years. In many ways, our work is really iterative. So, previous projects inform the next one, and so on. And so as we've gone along, inevitably, the sort of ground zero project then threw up other questions and prompted us to look in other ways. So that's really what's brought my interest to this space. And I've did my PhD on dementia care in India, and that was in 20. I finished it in 2010. So it's been a while since I've been working in this space.
Right. What about you, Joe? How did you become engaged with this?
Yeah, similar to Bianca. Well, I'm a migrant myself, although not from an Asian background. I've had a long-standing interest in working with culturally and linguistically diverse communities. My My PhD was looking at Sri Lankan migrants and depression and help-seeking behaviours. That was under the leadership of Bianca. Also, like Bianca, I have personal experience with dementia from my grandmother, who also lived with dementia. So I suppose it's been a mix of ending up working with cold communities, which I think is really fascinating, and there are so many problems that needs to be addressed, but also I have a personal interest in, I just think it's really fascinating, and also having the migrant experience bringing me to Australia also highlights some of the struggles that people might face. We have also what's been really good working in this space for me personally has been, like Bianca mentioned, that our projects tend to build on each other. So it's really a body of work that continues, which is a very nice experience, being able to actually continue on working targeted in a certain space and seeing some real outcomes.
And it just made me think of, I met some researchers looking at older people and people living with dementia from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander background. So would you say, and having discussions with people, that's almost a separate area of work that's very specific, or would that fit under the CULT research that you or others are doing as well?
No, very separate for sure. That's a correct analysis. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia are what might be known as Indigenous people in other parts of the world. And they're in Australia, there are First Nations people. Whereas culturally, linguistically diverse often referred to migrants. So not the First Nations, but the newest arrivals or the newer Australians. So there's very different histories and legacies that are informing care experiences, and we take a lot of care not to conflate the two. They're quite separate issues.
So what would you say are some of the key challenges for people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds who may need to get a diagnosis in the first place, or already live with a diagnosis or care for someone? Do you think are the key challenges?
Which bit do you want to take, Jo? There's a long list there.
Firstly, certainly in our work, what we've seen is that cold consumers or patients tend to access care rather late. For a myriad of reasons, however, one of the key reasons which we've been working on addressing has been awareness and actually understanding that some of the symptoms that their relatives are experiencing or they're experiencing themselves could be a sign of dementia. And often that's dismissed and pushed back, or it's nothing, you're just getting old. So awareness is one of the key issues for many cold communities. I'm not going to ramble off the whole list. Sorry, you can cut that out. But I'll leave some for Bianca. But that is one of the key reasons that we have been addressing with some of our films and moving pictures. So that's a key reason. Do you want to continue, Bianca?
Yes, certainly. So also, like in the UK, there is a tendency amongst many GPs to also dismiss some of the early signs and symptoms of dementia. And this quite often can occur with multilingual GPs or those who have been servicing cold families for a while. Again, it's sort of dismissed as a sign of aging and it's nothing to be concerned about until the symptoms are really too pronounced to ignore. So delayed diagnosis also occurs at the level of primary care and then even at the level of specialist intervention or care, where even the use of culture fair tools is not consistent across practices. Neither is the use of interpreters to facilitate a cognitive assessment consistent across various practices. And even interpreters themselves are not necessarily upskilled on what dementia is and how to facilitate a cognitive assessment. So all of these things in tandem can really combine to delay a diagnosis. The challenges in terms of care are, of course, the lack of culturally appropriate services across Australia. So they tend to be concentrated in particular pockets here and there. And look, in some instances, that concentration is appropriate because you have a significant number of particular communities residing in a particular area. So, for example, you might have a Chinese community, a large Chinese community in Sydney or in Melbourne. And so you might have many Chinese aged care services, which is fine. But it is a growing community, for example, and these services aren't available across the country in areas of need. And as for some newer communities, such as the Indian community in Australia, which are now sort of really beginning to age, there's almost nothing. So that in itself also creates a lot of challenges with regards to use of services, ability to access those services, the cultural appropriateness of them, the cultural appropriateness of the care being offered as well.
I suppose considering Australia more broadly as well, and I've met lots of researchers and other people when I was there, US, Poland, Ukraine, wherever, lots of different countries. It is so important, the work that you're doing, because there is such a diverse population that needs access to this. And I remember your talk, Bianca, at the conference as well about training up the interpreters. And I think some of us don't often think about, yes, we need sometimes that linking pin if someone who may have dementia doesn't speak English or German if we're in a different country or whatever. We need that proper translation and not just a quick summary of what someone said. It's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, places like Australia, the UK, the US, we are all migrant receiving countries. Australia is particularly diverse, but 30% of our population were born overseas. And about another, roughly about 30-40% of our population have either a parent or a grandparent who were born overseas. So we're a relatively young country, about 200 odd years old. And a huge proportion of the country are migrants, first or subsequent generations. So that's really something to be very mindful of. And our migration histories and trajectories are also changing. So whereas in the past we had a lot of migrants coming from, you know, especially after the Second World War, coming from Europe, principally Southern Europe, really from the 1980s onwards, the vast majority of Australia's migrants are coming from Asia, initially from Vietnam and China, and now more and more so from places like India, places in the Middle East, in places from Africa and countries from Africa. So we're growing in our diversity, which is a good thing, but it also means our services need to adapt to our changing population.
Mm-hmm. So we've briefly mentioned moving pictures, and Joe, you just mentioned it again as well. Do you both want to tell a bit more about moving pictures for our listeners?
And before we carry on, can I just mention one more thing I was just thinking about while Bianca was speaking in terms of access and actually receiving the diagnosis? And this would be, I suppose, a universal problem, is a stigma that surrounds or shrouds a diagnosis of dementia. That many, certainly in our experience, many people don't access care because they're worried about the diagnosis. The word itself can be highly stigmatizing depending on what country you speak. And there's a tendency in some communities to actually want to hide the diagnosis, hide the person away from the community. And that's, in my view, a major issue. We have heard, spoken to people from certain communities where the relatives didn't want them to take them out to see other members of the community in case they have dementia. And that's a real issue because it doesn't only impact the person living with dementia, it impacts the entire family.
We've done research during the pandemic in Colombia, India and Uganda, and particularly there's heavy stigma surrounding any kind of cognitive deficits in older adults, particularly dementia, obviously, and people have actually been hiding them in their home, away from the family, from the community, which is really sad. And we've witnessed similar things when we've done research in the South Asian community in the north of England as well a few years ago. So really sad. And I suppose raising awareness with these short films can be one way of normalizing dementia. It's something that can happen to anyone. But yeah, Do you want to tell us a bit more about Moving Pictures?
The aim of Moving Pictures was, as we have highlighted, to raise awareness of dementia across some of our cultural and linguistically diverse communities in Australia. So what we've done is we interviewed people who were carers of family members living with dementia. We video interviewed them specifically, and from those video interviews, we analyzed them and created storyboards in collaboration with community members, experts, and key service providers, and cut short films. So, really hearing the voices of the community members, the carers, the service providers who work closely with these people. Our films covered three themes: detection, diagnosis, navigating care services, and also the carer journey. Now, our films were we initially created five films in sorry in five languages. So that was Mandarin, Cantonese, Tamil, Hindi, Arabic, and then for the second part of the project, we created films in Greek, Italian, Spanish, and Vietnamese. And then we created a multicultural film to specifically address the issue around stigma, which is a multilingual film. It's sort of covering all the different languages. I'll hand over to you, Bianca, if you don't mind.
Sure. So these films are really the reason we chose the languages we did is because those reflect the top 10 languages spoken other than English in Australia, especially in populations that are 65 and over. That's the first reason we kind of selected those languages. The other thing is our interviews comprised roughly about 112 interviews with family carers and about 42, I think, interviews with service providers from these groups. So the films are actually based in really sound science. And this is probably it is in essence a qualitative study. If you from as you can see from the description, it is probably the largest qualitative study of its kind in the world. So that's kind of the I guess the science in which it is located. And we have published a few papers from it since, I think about five or six, maybe seven by now.
I mean, using film as a format and videos is obviously incredibly engaging. But I read recently, was it from the UN or WHO? They said that I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, I've just read that there's a digital gap for many women, especially in low and middle income countries, so that many women have less access to digital media. So, for example, they couldn't just go on their smartphone and check YouTube, which is happening for many genders in lower middle income countries, I suppose, less digital access. How do you try and overcome that? Because I suppose we need to raise especially awareness in LMICs as well to reduce that stigma that we just talked about.
Yeah, so look, I guess the issue of gender inequality is pervasive. And we see it also when it comes to dementia care, insofar as actually it's women who are the bulk of the family carers and who really do the bulk of everyday work in this space. It's a really interesting conundrum you bring up because, yes, women may have less access to digital media. They also have less access to education overall. So, for many women in low and middle income countries, particularly poor women, a capacity to read and write beyond even a primary school level is highly limited. So, therefore, what format do we deliver our information in? We've got to give it in something. Now, what's really interesting on my last trip to India that I noticed is the proliferation of smartphones is almost ubiquitous, and it doesn't seem to matter what socioeconomic bracket you're talking about. Almost everybody's got a smartphone. People can't necessarily afford laptops and tablets and other sorts of digital devices, but smartphones are available. The other thing that's really interesting is, and this is, I guess, a new frontier for us to think about in research and how we deliver information, is the use of emojis in people who are would struggle to read and write in English or even in another language, very often people are able to navigate the world to some extent through numbers, images, emojis, infographs, all those sorts of things. So, you know, those are also mechanisms by which we can deliver information. But there is no question that, you know, our resources, yes, they're certainly highly accessible, whether you can read or write or not, because there's the spoken and the auditory, and filmmaking has had a long history of reaching all sorts of income brackets. But I guess the capacity to navigate to the website to find it remains a burden or a hurdle to overcome.
Anything to add, Jo?
Yeah, like Bianca, it is one of those issues that I suppose we all have to grapple with when it comes to delivery of resources, because we even have that issue in Australia, where the older generation may not be as IT savvy as our generation or younger people will be eventually when they reach when they have a need for these kind of resources. The one thing I should mention is one way we've tried to overcome this with moving pictures, but this is local to Australia, so not LEMIC, we also created hard copy comics based on the films, so that we tried to do as much as we could. We have distributed around 15,000 across Australia to services, language-specific services and providers, where we basically use images very clearly to try and explain some of the content. But yeah, it is a real issue, and I'm not sure exactly how to solve that problem right at this minute.
I think it's a fantastic thing, and I've looked at the webpage, and we do come across that a lot. I mean, my own grandmother has access issues to digital technology. She sent me a GIF the other day on WhatsApp for the first time, and I was like, Grandma, how did you manage to do this? So it's thinking about maybe specifically the Australian aged and dementia care system and the work that you and your team are doing. Have you already experienced any impact from your work in terms of, has it helped to facilitate improved access, improved knowledge in people or members of the general public?
Okay, I'll go first. All right. Yes, our work has delivered impact. So to date, our website has been visited over 40,000 times. And we've distributed almost, I think, 17,000 comics by this stage.
Sorry, I got the number right. Wrong.
I got the number wrong?
No, I did.
Okay, right. So we've distributed about 17,000 comics probably by now. We've done some surveys with community members about the impact of looking at the films, and we consistently get it's pretty rudimentary the way we measure it, but we consistently get very good feedback on both the relevance of the films and its capacity to increase knowledge and awareness. Our films have been picked up by numerous government bodies, both state and federal, as well as various peak bodies and smaller agencies, aged care facilities, etc., to show to their staff, to put up as a resource. So that's been very widely sort of shared and used around the place as well. So I think our work has had impact. Certainly, lots of politicians seem to like it. It's a very practical, suite of tools to engage communities with. So great. I'd say yes.
Sounds like
I think so. Yes, so it's always hard to say these things, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine a negative answer to that question anyway. So it seems self-explanatory that it generates impact. But yeah, Jo, what about you?
And the other nice thing is, I go out and do a lot of community engagement with, often it's located with providers and talks at hospitals and things. And people go, oh, yeah, I use that website. So that's really nice when they don't actually know who I am or, they haven't read the intro or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, we've used that in our work, or we've We give that to our clients. So that's really, really nice to hear. And also, may I add, the films have been used in various training situations as well to upskill multicultural community our community workers who help people engage with aged care in Australia, which is a slight maze, and as well as in other dementia training. So it's slowly trickling out.
Fantastic. I love the engaging and impact-minded element of the work. It's very applied. You can kind of already see the impact whilst you're doing it. That's fantastic. So maybe to wrap us up, any key work or key highlights that you've got in the pipeline for the next year or 2 years or so? Bianca, what about you?
So as I said, moving pictures, and as I said previously, our work is very iterative. So what the first cab off the rank, I guess, from Moving Pictures, which is now done and it's on the website as well, is something called Animating for Dementia Prevention. And what that really is about is, as the full description suggests, it's about dementia prevention in different languages. It's an animation, so it's not a film. But there's kind of two origins to that story. So the first one was when Moving Pictures was being produced and we were creating it. That was the time the Lancet released it, the commission released its findings on dementia prevention. And we were very excited by that message that, you know, you could almost prevent 40% of dementias at a population level or reduce the likelihood of it. So we thought, well, this is a really a very important message of hope. What we were finding, though, when we go to multicultural communities, you know, we'd get asked two questions consistently. The first question would always be, oh, what's dementia? And then you'd explain it. And then the next thing would be, well, how do we prevent it? And, you know, we very quickly realized that, you know, God bless the science in the Lancet, but nobody in our communities was ever going to read the Lancet. And, you know, no one was going to kind of engage with that material. So we've got to figure out a way to take that science and translated in a format that is engaging to communities that they can action. So that's what we really did through ADAPT. We co-designed that with again, those 10 languages I talked about earlier. And so that's now out there in the big wide world. And we've just wrapped up the evaluation for it, which we're analyzing the data for. So that's one cab off the rank. That's quite an exciting project. And from that in itself is going to hopefully create spin-offs around more targeted and applied prevention. The other one that's come off that is a project that's called Moving Pictures India, which, Joe, would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So, yes, that was it is a very exciting project. Both Bianca and I got to go to India. So basically what we've done is we've taken a similar model to Moving Pictures using video interviews with carers and care service providers but taking that to India. So we're working with our partners at the National Institute for Mental Health and Neurosciences, NIMHANS in Bangalore. And we've conducted, Bianca, how many interviews? I think it's in excess of
50, it's about 52. About
52 interviews, yeah. Mm. Interviews. Yes. And we have very recently been through the whole analysis of all that data, which is a huge amount of work. Worked, and then we traveled over and worked with our team over there to co-produce our storyboards. And we are now in the process of finalizing, sort of refining the storyboards, and then the films will be cut. And we'll be covering, we're developing 9 films to really help caregivers who in India often don't have access to the type of support or help that we have in Australia, the UK, or anywhere else in, I suppose, in places like Europe or the US, to really help them care for their loved one at home. So very practical applied films that we will be producing from that. And the films will be available in Hindi, Kannada and English. So that's a very exciting project. Bianca, sorry, I'll hand over. I probably missed something.
That's right. So Movie Pictures India departs a little bit from Movie Pictures Australia, and so far it's very oriented towards care. But I don't want to kind of give any more than that away. I get no more
have
spoilers.
Have to read the paper when it's out.
No, you have to watch the films.
Yes.
Yes. Paper. We make it easy for you.
I'm old school research. I know I need to get adjusted to it. No, that's fantastic. So you've got quite a bit going on and 52 interviews already. That's a lot of analysis to come there as well. And thank you both. Really interesting.
Can I add another project
that
I have also recently finished? So I, as a director of spin-off of Moving Pictures, I have recently completed a small project to develop an international gateway to dementia resources developed in languages other than English. So I worked with a very international team, so we're researchers from Latin America, India, Holland, to pull together evidence-based resources from across the world and really organize them into a repository or gateway by language. And we got close to 400 different resources in there in 67 different languages, and people can access that via our webpage as well. So it was a very exciting little project, and it certainly gives a good overview of what's out there and what's missing.
And certainly shows the international angle and the global angle that both of you and your team are doing. It's not just about diversity within Australia, but generally diversity in dementia, looking at the global picture. Any other projects to add, Jo?
Sorry.
No, it's really important. Good to add. So thank you both. Fantastic to have you both on the show. And just for our listeners, again, it's evening for me and it's already the future ahead for Bianca and Jo the next day in the morning. So thank you for making it so early to the podcast. So if you as listeners want to find out more about their research, especially Moving Pictures and the project Jo was just referring to as well, do take a look at the bio with links. And for more discussions on the Australian aged care system and how it works in the land down under, have a listen to my next few podcast episodes. Goodbye, both, and goodbye, everyone.